Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hope Mindful Compassion Show. My name's Paul Garrigan and I look after the mindfulness program at Hope Rehab. Today I'm going to be talking about resting in the body. I'm going to explain what I mean by resting in the body and benefits of developing this ability and some of the techniques we can use to do that. So we begin by looking at what we mean by resting in the body. This is something we intuitively know. So one of the things we tend to do when we get really distressed, like mentally distressed, is we can do things like going for a walk or pacing. I mean, this is one thing I always did when I got very, very mentally overwhelmed. I would go and for a long walk. One of the benefits of doing this is that it actually moves our attention to something physical. And when our attention is on something physical, it means we're no longer caught up in the thinking. And this is what I mean by resting in the body. And this works because our attention can only be on one thing at a time. Like, our attention moves very, very quickly between different things. So if our attention is focused on something physical, it's not going to be on the thinking. And as our attention is away from the thinking tends to calm down by itself, which is, you know, a great advantage. So, and I would say, you know, it's more of our natural state to live more from in the body, to like sort of experience reality more from living in the body rather than from the thinking. Because all the thinking is, we mistake thinking as reality, but all thinking is, it's an attempt by our brain to describe reality. And as a description, it is not reality. And it can be quite altered from reality. And it's sort of a mistake if we rely too much on these descriptions from our brain. And for some of us, that's the way we're going about all the time, constantly thinking rather than experiencing. So the way I describe this, there used to be a guide, I mean, there probably still is the guidebook called The Lonely Planet. And the Lonely Planet guidebook, you know, you have one for every country, they're for tourists or backpackers or whatever. So imagine coming to Thailand with a copy of that guidebook, The Lonely Planet, and spending every second of your time just looking at this guidebook and sort of prioritizing that over actually looking at Thailand. It would kind of sort of mean you'd miss the experience of being in Thailand, wouldn't it? But this is what happens when we overemphasize thinking. You know, it means that we're relying on information that's not going to be really that accurate. I mean, it's kind of useful, but it's going to be biased because, you know, these guidebooks are written by one person. Same with our thoughts. Our thoughts can be very, very biased. Some of for some of us, our thinking is very biased towards negativity. Also, whatever information in there is going to be quite limited because obviously your brain, it needs to put things in simple ways we can understand, and it needs to ignore a lot of information. So it ends up limiting. And another problem is that the information in a guidebook, like The Lonely Planet, is always going to be out of date because it takes a while to compile this information. The same with us. A lot of the information in our head is sort of not relevant to right now, but we still rely on it. Now, for people who fall into addiction, the situation is even worse, because of the state we get ourselves into. And it's almost like arriving in Thailand with The Lonely Planet for Vietnam and insisting that our guidebook is correct and that reality is wrong, and we're in this sort of argument then with reality that we can never win. So what is it that makes us become so disconnected from the body and so focused on the thinking? Because that's really what the problem is. I would say it's our natural way of being to be more centered in the body. But due to what happens to us, we become more centered in the thinking and we overemphasize the thinking. So some of the ways we get disconnected from reality, one way is that every time we're traumatized, and every human is traumatized in one way or the other. And if you're not traumatized by the time you sort of hit your 4 or 5, you will be as soon as you start school, because you've got to be challenged and sort of, it's very hard to be authentic when you go to school. You start having to change yourself and react to being like bullies and all that sort of thing. So one of the ways we react to all of this trauma is by strategizing. And obviously strategizing involves thinking. We also start, you know, wearing these different masks. The mask that we think will allow us to be popular. Again, this is going to take more thinking. Another thing is that we really tend to elevate the importance of thinking. Far more. Thoughts are great, and there's nothing actually wrong with thoughts, but you know, we tend to overemphasize them because we've never been told any differently, and it seems to be, you know, the world seems to be all about thinking. So it's easy to understand why we sort of pick that up. Another problem that sort of forces us out of the body and into the thinking is that every time we get, you know, we get hurt or something, like, so I remember as a teenager, my first girlfriend, when we split up, I promised that I would never let that happen to me again. And so I developed all of these, I start strategizing more and closing myself off more and hiding in this, building these defenses in my head. And of course, these defenses are all sort of relying on thinking. Another problem is that over, you know, as we get older, we tend to do more and more stuff on autopilot. And of course, that involves more thinking. The whole autopilot thing, when we're doing things automatically, it means we're ignoring them. And it's not like we're ignoring them and just resting in our head. What we're actually doing is we tend to ignore what we're actually doing and spend more and more time in fantasies and planning and thinking. So it's like it's pushing us more and more into our heads and away from our life. And the more of that we do, it's like sort of pressing fast forward on our life. This thing, so some of the drawbacks of spending so much time in our heads is that we end up getting trapped in habitual behaviors. Because we're not really, you know, we're lost in these fantasy worlds and we're not really looking at what we're doing. And it's usually, most of our difficulties isn't because of what's happening. It's because of our thinking around what's happening. So, say with something like anxiety. Like, anxiety is a normal part of life. But because of obsessive thinking, we end up getting anxious about being anxious, for example. Another problem is the more we focus on thinking, it's like we're giving it a job. It's like the more we think, the more attention we put on the thinking, the more we'll end up thinking, because it's like that part of our brain has to keep on producing material, and as time goes on, the material becomes less and less helpful. Because like all the helpful stuff has been given to us, so the brain sort of, you know, it tends to focus more on the should stuff, like this should be happening, this shouldn't be happening, this shouldn't have happened. And all that sort of, and any sentence with the word should is basically going to be irrelevant. Another problem with this living in our heads is it means we get completely, we get disconnected from reality, and that's inherently dissatisfying. Like, these getting lost in talk can sort of seem, you know, kind of fun, but it's really not the way it's meant to be, and there's a part of us that knows that. Another problem is we tend to get really alienated from our body due to this obsessive thinking. And we start to see the body as the enemy. See the body, oh, it doesn't look the way I want it to look. Or it doesn't perform the way I want to perform, or it gets sick, or one day this body's going to die. And all of that stuff, it makes us actually start seeing our body as the enemy, which is not very helpful at all. So how do we begin resting in the body again, or coming back to the body? It's taken us a very, very long time to become so disconnected from the body, so obviously it's not going to be an overnight solution. But one of the ways we do it is we can use different techniques. So one of the first techniques we use at Hope is the malabids, or pam, as we say here in Thailand. They're just normal, you know, meditation beads. You've probably seen them before. And all we do is we focus on the beads. Like you have the beads in your hand and you just feel the beads. The benefit of doing this is that, well, there's actually a number of benefits. But one of the things, when you're feeling the bead, you're actually putting your attention on something physical. You know, you're in your body. You're focused on the physical. And that's doing a number of things. That's sort of by bringing your attention to something physical, you're basically practicing meditation. You're putting your attention where you want it to go, and sort of you keep on repeating that. Also, when your attention is on something physical, you're away from the thinking. And as you're away from thinking, the thinking tends to sort of calm down by itself. Like, so just being away from it lets the thinking start to calm down. So just, you know, just that, and that's how the pacing works, or going for long walks work. You know, you're very mentally distressed, you go for a long walk, and afterwards things start to calm down. It's because you've been away from the thinking. It calms down by itself. So, you know, the beads can be a great way to go. And then basically all forms of meditation, you know, well, most forms of meditation can be a way to bring ourselves into the body, like focusing on the breath, like the breath's part of the, you know, the physical component to that. We can also start doing things like, you know, loving kindness meditation. This can sort of remove a lot of the barriers that prevent us from resting in the body. So these are all great practices, and they're all the sort of stuff we do at Hope. So I just thought I'd sort of discuss some of this with you today. And thanks very much for listening, and goodbye.